Oh, that we'll continue in that worship. I felt like I was in heaven. I almost forgot about any other thing else but heaven. God bless the praise team in Jesus' name. Yes, it's a wonderful rendition. You are welcome in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful day. And I can see some people coming, no doubt to honor our young ones who are graduating. We rejoice with those who are graduating today in the name of Jesus. Lord, shall uphold them and keep them without spot, without blemish, without stain, even in the college in the name of Jesus. The grace of God is sufficient for you to shine forth like Daniel, even in the college, not to hide, but to shine forth the light. Amen. If you believe God will use you in college, say, praise the Lord. Yes, so shall it be in Jesus' name. Before I go to the words for the day, I just want to share briefly, you know, many of us are aware of what is happening. But we know that Israel is a prophetic time clock. And Jerusalem is the minute hand. Are you watching? We expect to watch and to pray so that we'll be accounted worthy to escape the evils that are coming. I listened to a message online yesterday and it had to do with the calm before the storm. Right now, it looks like a glorious time for Israel. Glorious time for America in particular because they favor Israel. Amen. Yes. Then the admonition went forth, and I'm also admonishing now, that Christians should not sleep. Christians should not be complacent at this hour of relative peace and harmony, but rather should take advantage of the time, redeeming the time, according to the word of God, because the days coming after will not be pleasant. But that's not for us. Our own is the translation of the sense. Amen. Everything is getting set now. Jerusalem is restored. Amen. No contest about that. And four more nations have joined U.S. to have their embassies in Jerusalem. That's good news for us. The next thing to watch out for is the building of the temple. The beauty of the temple and the rising of the Antichrist. Our own expectation is the coming of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says we should encourage one another with these words. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. Amen. I just wanted to say that so that we'll be up and doing to do take advantage of the times we are living in and further the work of God. Specifically, what God has laid in my heart to share this morning is the priestly ministry of believers. The priestly ministry of believers. Amen? So we're going to find out who are believers, who are the priests. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day like this. Lord, as we go into your word, as I speak through me, O God, to your children comfortably. Lord, and give us grace to understand and also to do what you are asking us to do, to realize who we are in Christ, to realize the ministry you have given to every one of us, irrespective of our color, our status, our age, that we fulfill our ministries in Jesus' name. The priestly ministry of believers. I want to sing this song as a preamble. It's a chorus, actually. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. As we offer unto thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving, as we offer unto thee the sacrifices of praise. Amen. I want us to read a passage in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19, 5 to 6. Here's what it says. God speaking to the Jews, the Israelites at that time. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Amen. Israel of old, do you know that we are the Israel of, we are also Israelites today, spiritually by faith, even though we're not born Jews, but by faith, we belong to this chosen people of God. And that truth in Exodus repeated in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. Are we there? Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Also, we read from Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. What God calls us. Revelation 1, 5 to 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath, as past tense, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 5, verse 10. See, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. In the Old Testament, that's the old covenant, old agreement God had with his people, he instituted the Levitical priesthood. That is, he made the tribe of Levi to be priests unto him. not all the Israelites specifically, but a particular tribe was chosen by God to be priests unto him. Of the stock of Levi, he had those who conducted music, just like the priest team. Their business in worship was to play instruments and give joyful sound and praise to the Lord. The other arm of the Levitical ministry was priesthood. These were the ones who daily offered sacrifices to God. There were so many sacrifices they offered at that time. Offered bulls, goats, rams, etc. They had to make sure these animals were clean and without defects before they would offer them unto God. They would burn the flesh and the blood was shed. There were trespass offerings. There were people who committed sin against God, against their neighbor, and they wanted God to forgive them. What they did, the priest would tell them, okay, you have to bring such and such type of animals, come and offer it unto God. The priests were the one who could do that. No other. Remember Uzziah. Uzziah wanted to do the work of a priest and was struck down because it was not his responsibility. Nevertheless, in the New Testament, God has made all his children, all you and I. Are you 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old? You are a teenager, a young adult, you are an old guy like me. God has made you to be kings and priests. Amen. You are priests unto God. So today we'll be talking about our priestly duties. Many people are not taking cognizance of these priestly duties. These are responsibility as priests. But today the Lord will enlighten us and we'll know more. Amen. In the New Testament, which is Old Testament revealed. New Testament is Old Testament revealed. Because most of the things that were mentioned in the Old Testament, they were figures. They were types of what will happen in the future. And we are now in the future of the Old Testament. So the New Testament is Old Testament revealed. Whereas the Old Testament is New Testament concealed. It was in a shadow. The picture wasn't very clear in the Old Testament. They talk about the Messiah, how he will come and all that, how he will offer himself, how that there be a new priesthood. You know, it was just shadows. They couldn't see. But today we are in the reality because Jesus Christ became the perfect sacrifice that was offered by God for once and for all time. It is no longer necessary on a daily basis to offer animal sacrifice to God to appease God or to ask for God's forgiveness. No. But Jesus Christ offered himself once and for all time. Amen. And today, Jesus Christ is our high priest. In the Old Testament, there were high priests, but you had one at a particular time. And they could only go to the Holy of Holies, that the presence of God, once a year on the Day of Atonement. Before the high priest would do that, he would have to offer sacrifice for himself, for his own sins, and then for his own people, before he would go into the presence of God. But in the New Testament, oh my God, we priests, we can go in and out anytime. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I was so much at home with that song, that hymn, that worship song, God's presence. If you are traveling, you can go into God's presence right there. You are in a classroom, you can go into God's presence wherever you are. It doesn't have to be in a church setting like this. In your workplace, you can go into God's presence. Amen. Oh, the Lord has made things so wonderful and so beautiful. Praise the Lord. So we are members of the royal family. Amen. Royal priesthood. God, the creator of all universe, he has made us to be kings and priests. Few days ago, there was a royal wedding. And the one thing that Christians, including me, we are remembering about that wedding is the modesty of the bride. Amen? The modesty of the bride. She was an actress, a U.S. actress, and then she could do all those kind of things and dress in skimpy dresses and all kinds of dresses that you may not appreciate or like. But now, she's hooked to the palace. Now, she belongs to the royalty, the royal family. And she has to comport herself as such. Amen? Do you know you belong to the royal family of God of heaven? That you belong to the royal priesthood. Royal. Not just priesthood, but royal priesthood. Amen? Oh my God. If we catch this revelation, we will learn to comport ourselves. Not just in the church. I wish the way we behave in church, that's how we behave in our workplaces, in our homes, or everywhere we are. That's what God calls us to. Not just in the church setting. After all, in the New Testament, there were no buildings like this. But the Christian, the body of Christ, made up of believers, those who are truly born again. And you are born again, so you belong to that body of Christ. And the ministry of reconciliation has been given to you and me. What is that ministry? To reconcile men back to God. Because the priests of old, that's what they did. They stood in the gap between the people and God Almighty, who created the whole universe. If they offended God, they will ask God through the sacrifice to please forgive the sinner. Where the Bible says specifically that in the Old Testament, even when you offer that sacrifice, your sin is covered just for a moment, not forever. Praise the Lord. Just for that time. So next time you commit sin again, you have to offer another sacrifice. So the priests were very, very busy killing bulls and goats and screening them. But today it's not so. The supreme sacrifice of the whole time, all time, has been offered. Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Yes. Whereas the sacrifice of the priests of Old Testament were physical, something you could see. In fact, they would examine the animal, like I said, the eyes, the legs, the color, everything, the fur, everything. They would examine and make sure it's fit for sacrifice. In the New Testament, our sacrifices are spiritual. Amen? Not physical anymore. Spiritual. I will dwell more about the types of sacrifices that we should offer today that is acceptable unto God. But one thing about the priesthood of old is that God emphasized holiness, holy living, holiness unto the Lord. In fact, the high priest had an inscription reading on what he wore. Holiness unto God. Separated, consecrated unto God. In the New Testament, God has consecrated you and I. We are now even the temple. We carry God in our very hearts. We live in him and he lives in us. Very different from the Old Testament. Nevertheless, just know that you are a priest unto God. We are not talking about the caste of priesthood that some denominations practice today. There is no basis for it at all. All I know, all I can see from the Bible is that all Christians truly born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, they are priests unto God. And they have been ordained, they have been sanctified, they have been empowered by the Holy Ghost to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. That passage we read in Exodus, God said he will raise up a kingdom of priests holy unto God. So it was prophetic at that time, and now is the reality. It was at that time a shadow, but we are now in the reality. We are now the Israel of God. We are now the people of God by faith. As priests in the new covenant, we are called a chosen nation. Chosen, separated. We have been sanctified and set apart for God's use. Amen? Not by man, but by God, by virtue of, of the new birth. We are anointed for service already. The oil has been poured upon us. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have been anointed for service. Amen? We have access to God's presence, not once a year, not once the blue moon, all the time, all the time. Wherever you are working, you are cooking, you can be in God's presence. Oh, the door has been opened to the Holy of Holies. Any day, any time, we can go in there. Amen. Yes. So, we have access to God's presence all the time. We worship in music, in praises, in dancing. And we have Jesus as our high priest. Even right there, making intercession for us. Let's talk about the sacrifices now that we offer in the new covenant. The sacrifices. Number one, we first offer our own very selves. So before you think of what to offer to God, money or anything, you, yourself. Let's read Romans chapter 12. You see what the Bible has to say about giving ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. This is what God expects of us first and foremost. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. There are many sacrifices we need to offer, but first and foremost, your very self. So we offer first ourselves. We present our body as living sacrifice, not dead. Because those sacrifices, they brought them, they will kill them, and they will burn them in the altar. But this time around, we are going to present ourselves as living sacrifice continually unto God. A man of God, Eugene Peterson, says, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as offering. Everything, not some part of you, all of you. God desires all of you first and foremost before you offer other sacrifices as a priest unto God. Amen? We submit our lives totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Our time, we give to God. I listened to a video, I watched a video recently on WhatsApp, and there was a time. That time, God has given everybody time. Those who don't have time to God is because they don't have God as their priority. That is why they don't have time for regular worship. That's why they don't have time for regular Bible study or praying at home or having the family altar. They don't have time. It is because God is not their first priority. So if you find yourself in the same situation, oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time. I wish I had time to worship God like you people do regularly. It's because there's something wrong with your prioritization of issues. Make God your first priority. If that is the case, you find time to worship. Find time to pray. Find time to bring up your family in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Amen. That's important. Our time, our talents, whatever skills God has given you, like you can see, brothers and sisters offering sacrifice of praise unto God. Talent is there. All of us don't have that talent, but they are using their talent. But I do believe there are some people right there who have the same talent but decide to hoard it. Say, I don't want to advertise myself. Are you advertising yourself or advertising God? Glorifying God. Come and glorify God with them. Amen. If you got that talent, it's not man-made. Amen. So it's God-given. Therefore, if you have such talent, use it to worship God. Your treasures, your position, your money. I also watched a video of a man who wanted to die. And he was so wealthy. So he sat down and arranged a party and said, I know I'm going, but all my money, I want to bless the poor. I want to bless the poor. How many people watch it? Raise up your hand if you watch it. Oh, good, 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 good. So this man started to distribute his money. I put chunks of money. Take. Some people, they were so terrified. In fact, oh, it was so awesome to them that, look, am I dreaming? Some will need that. They wouldn't even live there again. Such a kind person. Wonderful. We cannot carry our money away from here. Cannot carry our properties away from here. So we should worship God with it. Our ears, our eyes, our mouths, our legs. All to the glory of God. Don't use your leg to go to wrong places. Amen. In the campus you find, young men, when you get there, you're going to find no different kinds of people from different kinds of background. But know who you are. You're a member of the royal priesthood. Amen. Amen. And behave and comport yourself accordingly. Our sexuality. Keep yourself pure. You that are not married, you have no business, boyfriend, girlfriend, and sex. No. Till you get married. That's God's word for you. Amen. You that are married, be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your wife. That's God's word for you. Faithfulness. You have been called unto holiness. Remember that you are sanctified, set apart for God's own use. You can't behave like other people. Never. You are a peculiar people. If somebody is peculiar, it means different from others. Dare to be different. Dare to be a peculiar person for Jesus. For that's who you are. Amen? Yes. God has made it so. Our emotions, our attitude, our minds, our hearts, even our ambitions, what you want to be, will God be glorifying this? So think about all these brothers and sisters. We can also read Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. In fact, in all these, the Bible says we should present our spirit, soul, and body to the Lord, living sacrifice. We are also not to be conformed to the world. That's on the other side. We are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices unto God. Conformity with the world is enmity with God. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. You can read that on your own. Say, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All these things, they are of the flesh. So, consecrate everything unto God. We do this primarily through the power of the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, the scriptures that every one of us has access to. Hearing it alone is blessing to us. Just hearing the Word of God as you are hearing tonight, blessing comes along. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that also reading it alone, just reading it. We're not talking about other things now, but reading it, there's blessing. By so doing, you find that you get to love God the more and you hate the things of the world. By studying it, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study the word of God to show yourself as proved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed of his tools. Every one of us, priests unto God. And remember also the Berean Christians in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were noble, more noble than the other people. Because when they heard the word of God, they went and searched out whether what they heard was true. That should be our attitude. When we hear the word of God, go and ruminate over it. Go and memorize it, if possible. Go and meditate upon it. In Psalm 1, verse 2 to 3, say, bless the man that started not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor seated in the way of sinners, but his delights in the law of the Lord. And in this law he meditates day and night. And remember God's counsel to Joshua? Joshua 1:8. The same thing. Meditate upon the word of God day and night. And take care to observe what the word of God says. And when you do that, you have good success. Amen. Not every success is good. But there's a specific success that is good when it is based on the fear of God and the love of God. Amen. So let's do this. And by so doing, you find yourself just becoming a living sacrifice acceptable unto God. The next thing we offer to God is our praises. Our praises. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Please, can you put it up? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Our praises are spiritual sacrifice. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips. Give it thanks to his name. Amen. Okay, let's read verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we see, we mentioned three now. The sacrifice of your very self, living sacrifice. The sacrifice of praises. And then the sacrifice even of good works. Amen. Sharing. That's what we can find in Hebrews 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do good, brothers and sisters. It is good to do good. Amen? Yes. There are some people who have what they call a hyper grace. They teach hyper grace. Hyper grace. In other words, they believe that once you are saved, you're always saved. It doesn't really matter. Don't talk about good works. Who cannot be saved by good works? That's what they say. Let me tell you, we are never, none of us was ever saved by good works. Never, never, ever, or ever shall be. No. But you have been saved to produce good works. Amen. Just know that. Let there be no confusion about it. When it comes to works, we are saved by grace and not by works. Yes. You have been saved. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to priests. I'm not talking to unbelievers. I say, go and do good works so you'll be saved. No. That man who gave his money to people and all that, if he did not give his life to Christ, he wouldn't be in heaven. Good work can never save anybody. But after you are saved, you are expected to bring forth the fruit of good works. God is pleased with that. It's part of the praises of the spiritual sacrifice we offer to God. Good works. Let your light so shine before men that people will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it's never out of place. Good works. Keep on doing good works. Many have been doing that. Keep on doing it. And remember also, you are going to be rewarded according as your work shall be. It is what you do for the Lord that God will reward you for. I don't just want to get to heaven and sit down and see other people with multiple crowns and all that. I want to be among the best. Amen. Yes, so Revelation 22 verse 12 tells us that. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his works shall be. Period. So our praises are righteous acts. They are spiritual sacrifices. Walking in love as Christ did, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Say, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Yes, walking in love is a spiritual sacrifice. Walking in love towards brothers and sisters, even towards the unlovable, even unbelievers. We are not to hate unbelievers. We are to love them. If we don't love them, how can we share the word of God with them? Our love is unconditional. Agape love. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any other kind of love. For there be different kinds of love. I'm talking about agape love. God's kind of love. Unconditional love. Amen. Yes, another spiritual sacrifice. Our prayers and our gifts. Acts chapter 10 verse 4. It says, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. When you pray and you don't seem to get answered, don't get discouraged. There's going to be some reward someday. Amen. Yes, unanswered prayers, they are kept in vase, golden vase, until the right time, God's time, and then the answer will just burst forth. So if you have been praying concerning a particular issue, just know that a time will soon come. And possibly for some today, it is today that God will answer that prayer of your heart. Amen. There was a lady who desired all her life, a Christian, praying to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. She saw other people baptized in the Holy Ghost and praying in the Spirit and all that. And she prayed, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. Apostle, pray for me. Prophet, pray for me. Nothing happened. Until one day, this woman heard a sermon on forgiveness. And she realized that she was in bitterness with her fellow church member. They were at loggerheads. If she's coming to church and she knows that this sister is sitting here, she don't want to be close to that. But there was something that happened accidentally, unquote, one day. They sat close to one another. Woo! And they were feeling jittery. Somehow, feeling very uneasy. And the pastor had taken note that these two women, they don't seem to be in good terms. And look at even their behavior now. She told them specifically, if you are a Christian, be a Christian. And stop pretending. How can you have unforgiveness? Say, I love you. There's unforgiveness. That's hypocrisy. So these two women decided to cry. They started to hug one another, embrace one another. Say, Lord, my sister, forgive me. Please forgive me. Everyone said, no. I'm the one to ask for your forgiveness. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. They started to cry and hug one another in repentance. You know what happened? Instantly, without any bishop coming around to lay hands, she received the Holy Ghost. That one who had all the time desired the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the other one had a problem, medical problem, a goiter developed on her neck, and she had also prayed and prayed with no answer. That moment she received an answer, the goiter vanished. Amen. Think about that, the power of forgiveness. Power of forgiveness. So our prayers, our intercessions for other people, you know, they are spiritual sacrifices. Our financial and material giving, they are also financial. They are also spiritual sacrifice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Say, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. Amen. So you never knew all these things you were doing, that they are sacrifices? Get to do them the more. Amen. Performing our roles as ambassadors of Christ, of course, perhaps much more than any other, is a spiritual sacrifice unto God. When you reconcile men back to God, somebody who is hopeless, somebody knows, be fed up with life and want to commit suicide, and you say, Jesus loves you. In your condition, just as you are, just come to him, repent of your sin, and come to him. He will accept you and make your life beautiful. You listen to that and the person is saved. When you do that continually, you are offering spiritual sacrifices unto God. Amen. God is very well pleased with that. In fact, it makes heaven jubilate when a soul is converted. When somebody repents and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's jubilation in heaven. Performing our roles as ambassadors of Christ in reconciling men back to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19. So, spiritual sacrifice. Then also, the use of our spiritual giftings certainly constitute spiritual sacrifices. There are 9 spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you read it very well, see there are spiritual gifts there for you, for all the priests. The priests, God gives severally as he wishes. To one, he may say, I give you this, I give you word of knowledge, I give you the gift of faith. To another, the gifts of healing. To another, the gift of interpretation of tongues. To another, speaking in tongues. To another, prophecy, etc., etc. God distributes to all his children. You know, God is a liberal God. And he's not a partial God. If you ask, he will give you. Desire, spiritual gifts. Amen? He will not fail you in that in Jesus' name. And these gifts are to be used in the house of God to build up the body of Christ. They are not for personal aggrandizement, personal gain, or somebody to be lifted up. Yes, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophetess, I can see, I have the gift of word of knowledge. It's not for demonstration. It's for service in the house of God. In fact, when these gifts are in place, sin can hardly find a place in the church of God, the assembly of believers, because people's sins will be revealed and people will repent, who will live continuously in holiness. Praise the Lord. Now, before we round it up, let us make this positive confession. 1. I am what God says I am. Say it. I am a priest of God. I'm a member of the royal priesthood. I'm a peculiar person. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I am a king, and Jesus the King of Kings. Amen. Proper understanding of our priestly rights, privileges, and responsibilities will help transform the very way we serve God in our lives. Being born again is not merely to serve as a fire insurance. You know, insurance to guard against certain happenings in nature and other. So, your being born again is not just to escape hellfire, but to serve God. Amen. And to be zealous of good works. All believers are thus ministers. Why the fivefold ministries? You have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors. These are specific ministries. But you are all ministers under the new covenant. Learn to do this. When you realize that you're a priest, you're not drawn to the pastor for every problem in your life. You learn to resolve them yourself. Amen. I want to round up with this song. We are kings and priests, and chosen by God. We are kings and priests, and chosen by God. We are kings and priests, and chosen by God. We are kings and priests, and chosen by God. We are not servants in God's kingdom, we are sons. Jesus' royal blood now flow through my veins.
Jesus' royal blood now flow through my veins. Jesus' royal blood now flow through my veins. I'm not a servant in God's kingdom. I'm a son. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.